In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Base is loaded. Here's the pitch. Swinging a ground ball towards second. Slowly hit. They'll go to second to get one. Relay. Thrown away. And the tying run and go-ahead run will score. And now it is 6-5 San Diego. A swing and a fly ball down the long run for Reynolds. Cruz goes back on it, and he gets in Reynolds' way, and that's going to allow a run to score. What's Cruz doing? That's not his ball. Then he throws it away. What is he doing? And Alvarez stands at third. That should have ended the inning. Instead, another run is in on another Cruz error.
Shortstop is a challenging position. I think we're going to see some freedom out of him. And I think the largest component of this is, like, we're taking a kid that's an elite athlete and putting him in the middle of the field. And we've seen how center fielders can impact the game. I mean, you can impact the game from center field. And excited to see that. Excited to watch him, you know, to do those things.
Good morning, everybody. O'Neill Cruz, no longer a shortstop. He designated hitter yesterday, and he's going to do that a little bit longer while he works with Tarik Brock in center field. So Ben Cherington on August 26th, Dorn reminds me, on August 18th, said that O'Neill Cruz is going to be our shortstop. 8 days later, O'Neill Cruz is moving to center field. We will hear from the Pirates general manager coming up in the next segment. You heard Derek Shelton talking about the switch off the top right there. And the Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I thought if it happened, they might send him to winter ball, play a little center field, spring training, play a little center field. They're just going for it. And, man, your mind starts to turn, doesn't it? First of all, Brian Reynolds ain't going to be safe now. Like, you're not protecting Brian Reynolds from getting run over by a Mack truck just because this guy's in center field. He's still going to have that issue, I think. Athletically, I think he's going to be able to handle it. I think you also have to be less mentally involved in the game to be a center fielder than a shortstop. It makes a ton of sense to me, but this seems to me, Doran, to be a team that really hasn't had a plan with this guy. He has been abysmal defensively at short, whether it's calling off the outfielders or booting balls. He can't catch the ball. He throws balls away. But when you have a general manager say 8 days ago, all I can tell you right now is he's our shortstop, and then yesterday says he's moving to center, I think this is an organization that's just sort of blowing in the breeze.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a shame. I mean, we've been pounding the table for a long time saying, hey, maybe right field for O'Neill Cruz. Now, right field would make more sense to me. But, you know, to try to look at this in a positive and, I guess, in a negative in a way, like, I got a guy that's 6'7". It's very hard to play shortstop at 6'7". We just acquired Connor Falefa. So we want to infuse him in the lineup. We like him and things that he can do and be an everyday guy. You got a guy that's 6'7", that can run, that has an insane arm. Like, that would be the spot.
You know, right
center,
field?
Center field. Like, to cover the most ground. Like, he's going to get there, and he's going to be able to cover so much ground quicker than a lot of people. We've seen Aaron Judge do it at that size. That's the only guy that's comparable, really, to him. Like, if you want to just kind of look into the future, what it could.
And he's not the speed guy that cruises.
Exactly. But whenever I think of center field, I think of an outfield general. I think of an outfield quarterback. And we know that his communication skills are awful. That could be a recipe for absolute disaster if he's the one communicating with right and left of who gets what, where, you know, in the gap. Like, what, like that, to me, like, I love the athleticism out there. I love the thought. But to have the mindset out there, I don't know if that's going to. I don't know how he can grow from now until next year mentally. Physically, yeah, he's going to do great. But mentally, how is he going to communicate with everybody?
You got, what, 30-some-odd games left? I think this calls into question any grand plan. It just seems like they're doing it.
Yeah.
Right? That they haven't thought about it a whole heck of a lot because there's been 8 days between Charrington comments on this. That being said, I'm happy they're doing it now. I mean, it is waving the white flag, I think.
Yes.
You're saying it is time for experimentation. And, okay, fair enough. You're 13 and a half games back in the division race. You are 9 games back in the wild card race. So it's not like they really have a shot. They would have to go like 23-8 the rest of the way to even have a puncher's chance to make the playoffs, and we can all see that's not going to happen. So while it is waving the white flag, the standings are showing you that the flag should be waved. This gives you a big sample size to be able to evaluate him and get him better at that position in games that, like it or not, don't really matter. So I do like it. I just wish that this were something that they had made public, that they were at least considering. Here's the other point of this. Ben Charrington said he's disappointed in this move. O'Neal Cruz,
yes.
But handled it professionally. Of course he's disappointed. I do worry about that. How many times have we talked about O'Neal Cruz and maybe you sit him down, maybe you bench him, maybe you give him a day off because of the errors and you just give him time to think. And the pushback we get and what we've heard from people that are close to the team is he might not handle it all that well. He might not handle this all that well. And I'm just wondering what that might look like because they need him to reach his full potential. And I think he can do that in center field.
Me too.
It's tough to commit 27 errors in center field, which is what he's done this year. But it's also a premium defensive position. And so I pulled some of the stats because my initial thought was keeping him at shortstop is playing him at a position where his bat is really going to play. Well, then I looked at the center field stats, and I do think his bat will play there too. So at shortstop, he's 6th in Major League Baseball in home runs and 10th in OPS. So a top 10 hitting shortstop in Major League Baseball. That's why initially when I heard this, I thought, where's he going to compare to center fielders? Quite comparably, actually. For full-time center fielders, he'd be 6th in homers and 5th in OPS. So still, the bat plays, and actually, it plays a little bit more in center field. I think eventually he'll grow to be very good at center field. I think his arm will play, but the communication thing I absolutely agree with.
I know this. Like there, it's a very fascinating situation. And, you know, if this does work out, it definitely helps this roster. I know that. I know it fills a huge need. You could, like we said, you feel comfortable with Connor Falefa playing short. You can see Nick Gonzalez and whatever with Brian Hayes, but you know, you get O'Neal Cruz at center, Brian Reynolds, and then you have De La Cruz and whoever else at right. If it does work out, like it isn't a bad, if you look at the, you know, if you look through the glass. It's not a bad vision.
No, because they were going to need to get a center fielder this offseason.
Exactly.
Michael A. Taylor obviously did not work out this year, and so were they going to go out and try to acquire a premium center fielder? Were they going to go out and try to put a Band-Aid on it like they did last year? Probably the latter and not the former. I don't think they were going to go out and get Luis Robert. I don't think they were going to go get a big-name center fielder. So you do hopefully plug a hole at center field. Connor Falefa, who we were kind of up in the air on and where his position's going to be, now he's your shortstop. Nick Gonzalez is your second baseman. So up the middle, you should have an idea of what you're going to be next year. What I would have liked to also see, Doran, is Joey Bart not get hurt, obviously. Stick him over at first base for the remainder of the season. See what that looks like with Henry Davis catching for you.
Yes. I think that's the next step. I don't know how long Bart is out for. How long is he, I mean, is he done for the season?
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think that'll happen next. Yeah.
When he's on his way back, you do have an opportunity now with him. His rehab assignments in AAA, throw him out at first base.
Yeah.
Joey Bart.
Yeah.
And maybe.
And Henry.
And good point. Why not? I think I would do a little Henry at first, a little Henry at catcher, because ideally next year, Andy Rodriguez comes back, is your 1A catcher. Henry could be your 1B catcher. Joey Bart is your first baseman. I think his bat will translate there. He's been very good for them. Less wear and tear on you over at first base. And then you could think you got Dylan Cook, who could come into the equation, and the other kid that you got from
York.
Boston. Yeah, Nick York, who could come in and be part of this thing. Now, you're still going to go into next season with a lot of questions, no doubt about it, but you've got time to start to try to answer some of those questions down the stretch this year.
Yeah.
If you're going to experiment with your potential superstar shortstop playing center field, and it doesn't even actually seem like it's an experiment. It just seems like, hey, he's our center fielder now. If you can do that, you could put Joey Bart at first and figure that out.
Yes.
Because Rowdy Tellez ain't going to be your first baseman next year. And Andy Rodriguez is a better defensive catcher than is Joey Bart. So if you're going to do one thing, you might as well do the other and see what you got going into next season. And maybe you actually do have some answers. Because going into next year, it was going to be, who's going to play center field for you? I think you got a big question still at third base with Key Brian Hayes. Who's going to play first base for you? Maybe Joey Bart can answer that question down the stretch when he comes back. Maybe O'Neill Cruz goes out and plays really well in center field. You're going to see some disasters, I think, particularly early. But he's got the athletic profile to be able to play that position at a high level.
He does.
So maybe you could polish this turd here and you can think some of the answers to these questions are already on the roster. And if not, you can find that out over the next 30 days or so. Callis, you've been chomping at the bit. Were you trying to get in on this conversation here?
I was not chomping at the bit.
Oh. Well, I'm sorry I went to you. We got Ben Charrington's comments on all this coming up next as we attempt to suss this out. O'Neill Cruz, your center fielder of the future and also of the present. With a 789 OPS, 18 homers, would have him 6th in homers and 5th in OPS for center fielder. So the battle play, what do you think about all of this? Gestures wildly. 412-928-9370, that's the fan hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. You could tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You could text us, brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Again, we'll hear from Ben Charrington all this coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Next.
The O'Neal that I know from the time he was in the minor leagues to now, he really does want to be on a winning team. You know, he wants to be part of winning. And I think he'll be able to see that this, you know, gives us an even better chance to do that, hopefully. It increases the chances of us doing that. That's how we see it. We hope that he sees it that way. I think he will. Is that, you know, he's a baseball player. He's a shortstop. Certainly he's identified as a shortstop, but he's a baseball player first. And, you know, he's going to want to be out there doing, you know, great things on a baseball field. And this is an opportunity for him to do that. He's going to have a lot of space out there to run around and show off all the things he has to show off. And that probably leads to the third thing. I think in time this can be fun for him because of that space. You know, to some extent, shortstop, while there were certain things he could do that were incredible, in center field, there's even, in theory, more space for him to, you know, just do things that, you know, that the athleticism should allow him to do. And there are some features of that athleticism that we believe already suggests that, you know, that degree of difficulty thing may be different in center than it was at short. Again, it'll take work, focus, hard work, time, you know, all that. There's no substitute for the hard work that he'll have to put in. But, you know, we believe he'll do that, and he's got a chance to be really good out there.
Hey, O'Neal, it'll be fun.
Mm.
Why don't you just go run around all that space out there like a little kid at the playground? Hey, go run around. Just have some fun.
Right.
Yikes. I did not catch this the first time I heard Charrington's comments, but right at the beginning of that clip there, and I'm paraphrasing, Charrington says, this will be the best thing to help the team win. Hope he sees that. Think he'll see it. Meaning that he does not, in my opinion, see it right now.
No.
That is talking about how O'Neal will eventually view it. And that makes me think he's not super thrilled about it right now. And I don't blame him for that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to understand that you've made 20 some odd errors this year. And you're one of the worst defensive shortstops in baseball because of it. And you can't just keep making mistakes and the same mistakes over and over again and not expect things to change. So he should have seen the writing on the wall. But that doesn't mean it's not going to be a shock to the system. It's a totally different thing. And he's been a shortstop, as identified as a shortstop, his entire baseball life. So I don't blame him if he is a little surly about this.
No, I mean, you're basically being told that you're not good enough.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really what it comes down to. You could say all the mumbo jumbo. You're going to have fun. Hopefully you could be a team player, and this is the best thing for the team. This is the best thing for you. You could use your athletic ability. But, yeah, you're really – nobody's hearing that as a player. You're telling me that I'm not good enough at my position.
Yes.
So I'm moving.
Yes.
That's all you hear. And he's a young player. He's erratic at times. You know, there's been question marks if he's fully invested, even at shortstop. I mean – It's not an easy path right now. Like mentally, I'm more focused on mental. Like physically, yeah, he's good.
Yes, agree with
he's
that.
Good. No, he'll go out there, he'll make plays, and it'll be fine. He'll be able to show off his arm. He'll end up having fun. But can he get to that point mentally? I don't know. He couldn't get there at shortstop.
Right. I think there's less to think about in center field, but not initially. Initially, there's going to be more thinking for him because he's not played the position before.
But how much thinking did he really have to do? Like, there's a lot of thinking to do at shortstop. I get that. It's a very tough position. It is the general of the infield. But, like, the things that he messed up on are not, like, thinking issues. It was just him blowing a gasket. Like, not
throwing
having
it away, not catching the ball.
Yeah. Not, you know, calling off guys whenever you're running 80 yards to the left in outfield. Like, some of the things he does are more... You know, I don't know if you would need to think to do that. It was just more like, all right, what are you doing?
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does make sense because those are things nobody else would think about.
Exactly.
That's where I do think some of Ben Sherrington's comments make sense. He has more space to go out and be athletic. And I do think sometimes his athleticism can be his worst enemy. Like in that specific play, we heard it at the top of the show in Houston where it looked like he was going to run into Brian Reynolds. Like that kind of thing can still happen, of course, in the outfield. But he thinks, oh, I'm so athletic, I can get to this ball. How many shortstops in Major League Baseball are even going to try to pursue this ball? But I can, so I will, even though it's a bad idea. Well, in center field, you got plenty of space to show off your athleticism.
Yeah.
Now, he's going to need to work in every stadium he goes to and balls off the wall, sight lines, angles depth. to the baseball depth. You're right. They're going to need to figure out, is he a center fielder who's going to play in? Is he a center fielder that's going to play back? He could play back because of his arm, but you could play in because of his range. A lot of that stuff's going to come to play. I don't so much worry about Brian De La Cruz because he's a terrible fielder and doesn't cover a lot of ground, so you might need him to cover more ground going to that side of the field. I think he's going to be pretty good there. I do. I think it's going to take a long time, though.
Yeah.
Like, throwing to the right cutoff guy.
Yep.
Is something he's going
to
have to figure out.
Throwing to the cutoff guy.
Right.
You know, not just
airmailing
a guy.
That thing. Yeah.
Like, those are the things that he does at shortstop.
You could see him absolutely, instead of getting the ball to second base when there's no play at the plate, thinking, I've got the world's best howitzer, and I'm just gunning that thing to the plate. We're going to see some runners advance that shouldn't advance because he's not going to throw it to the right spot.
Yep.
But you're not going to make 27 errors in the outfield. Now, the errors you do make, very costly. That ball will roll a lot. Text from Ben. This guy just gets on my nuts every morning, Dorn, and not in the good way. How can you say you don't blame him? No one cares if he's played shortstop his whole life. He has 25 errors. I try to run things through my brain as an empath, Dorn.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who is empathetic. That would be the definition there. We do a good morning show, get nice ratings, very good ratings, in fact. If someone tells me, Crowley, we love you, you're doing a great job, we think you'd fit better in the evening, I would do it because my bosses tell me to do it. Would I be happy about it? No.
No.
Of course not. He's played shortstop his entire life, and like I said, he could see the writing on the wall. He's not playing shortstop at a high enough level, but when they tell you you suck at this and you got to move and do it someplace else, he's a human being. He's a person. And so he's not going to just be like, okay, yeah, this is great. It's all fine. And then, of course, he's going to be upset about it. That's human. So I'm not going to blame him if he's not exactly taking this thing in stride. It's not an easy thing to do on the fly in the middle of a season when, guys, a month ago, he was the shortstop of a potential playoff team, and now you're going to be the center fielder of a team that's playing out the string?
Right.
And we think he's just going to take it and be a great teammate and is super excited about it? Come on now. Now, you would hope that that's fleeting, and it's not something that's going to have him in the boo-boo face the rest of the season and all offseason. Like, there is a line there where you just need to be an adult about it, but it's going to take some time. And he's going to not be happy. I think we need to allow him to be a human with this. I think that's fair. Ben, get off my nards. It is 6:30. It's time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency in Gibsonia and see what they can do for you. Ben has rattled me. Mookie Betts switch positions. Alfonso Soriano switch
Bryce
positions.
Harper.
Bryce Harper switch positions. Albert Pujols. I mean, it happens.
Mm-hmm.
It happens. And a lot of players have had success in doing that. And I think that's going to happen with O'Neill Cruz. It's just going to take some time. Moving on. Can we have a Steelers wide receiver conversation without talking about Brandon Ayuk?
Of course we can.
I think we can and we will coming up next because today is roster cutdown day in the NFL, Doran. 4 p.m. Teams got to get from 90 players down to 53. There will be some players available. There are some players that are going to be highly sought after that you might need to trade for before they get cut. We'll mention two of those guys and talk about the pros and the cons of them when we come back. Steelers have reportedly expressed interest in a couple of non-Brandon Ayuk wide receivers. We'll get to that in a moment. But a texter brings up a good question for you, Dorn. I mean, you were an All-American tight end at Pitt, but it's not like you came in, played tight end as a freshman all the way through your senior year. I mean, you were bouncing around. You played some linebacker, for God's sakes. How did that go?
Well, I mean, I came from a place where my football acumen was pretty high still. And I knew, that helping the team was, at the end of the day, going to benefit the team and going to benefit me. So my mindset was, all right, there's a position that I need to move to. If I can help the team and help myself, then that's what I was going to do. Now, I don't know about O'Neal Cruz. I don't know what his acumen is as a baseball player. I really don't. Like, I don't know where he came from. His mindset might not be the same. But mine was, all right, like, I'm going to move until I figure this out. And the places that I moved to that could help the team. So it was tough. I hated it. But I didn't show it. Like, I was like, okay, like, I'm going to go 100%. I'm going to learn this. And I'm going to try to conquer this. Didn't happen. Then had to move to another one. Didn't happen. Didn't have to move to another one. But at the end of the day, it ended up happening. But that was just me believing in myself and my abilities and also being part of a team and trying to win. I hope he has that mentality. You know, at first it's going to sting, but you got to get over it. Like, it's not like if he, I don't know what he's worried about. Like, if he's worried about money, it's not like he's not gonna, it's not like he can't get paid at center field.
Absolutely. Right.
So he has to think of that as well. Like, you could still get paid a lot of money playing center field, a lot of money. Just as you would as a shortstop. So if it was about that, throw that out the window. If it's about your pride, you're going to have to eat it. You're a baseball player. So at least they're not giving up on you.
Go out. Good point. Go out. Be the best possible center fielder you could be.
Right.
Help the team.
Right.
I understand it's going to be hard early. Take your lumps. Not going to love it. But the mindset should be, I'm going to go out there and be one of the best center fielders in Major League Baseball. Believe in yourself. Believe in your ability. That's what you did. And then you're an All-American tight end. Go to the NFL. Things worked out pretty good.
It just, it believe in your ability, and you never know. It might be easier. It might be easier. It might click.
You might like it more.
Exactly. You'll be able to run. Yes. You'll be able to do different things and be able to actually show off some of your abilities that you're not able to show off as a middle infielder. Like, you could show off your arm. You could show off your speed. Like, you could look fancy in the way that you want to look and show how athletic and explosive that you really are. And that could translate your confidence in the outfield of doing those things could translate to the plate. So that's how I would look at it if I was O'Neal Cruz, but I'm not. And I've seen him go through the ups and downs mentally throughout a game and throughout a season this year and do things that aren't, conducive for his team to win, throwing balls away and just trying to show his arm off from shortstop to first base. But, that's not the throw that you need. Take some gas off of it. Like, are you able to hone those things in and just play at a high level? And if he does do that, I think he could be absolutely successful, and the team will too, because you'll be able to move guys around and put guys in positions and not have to go out and spend the money to find a center fielder. That can really help your roster. You like Kiner Falefa. And let's be honest, this regime, they harp on defense, as we saw with Austin Hedges, as we see with certain moves that they make. As we see with Cabrian Hayes, they love defense.
Michael A. Taylor.
O'Neal Cruz does not bring that to the table. So they're like, listen, we need somebody next to Cabrian Hayes, next to Nick Gonzalez, that is concrete, that we know that isn't going to have many errors so we can stay in the game. That's our philosophy. That's probably why they did it as well.
Man, that's a really good point by you, too, when you consider that this is an organization that next year should continue to have very good pitching. As you get Bubba Chandler in the mix, and I'm sure they'll go out there and they'll make a signing or two this offseason, they've been very good at that. We can criticize this organization for a lot of things. They've built up a very good pitching staff. You want to win with pitching. You want to win with defense. Great point by you. Look, Ke'Bryan Hayes, we'll see what happens with the back. You know he can play defense, elite defense, generational defense at third. IKF has won a gold glove. He's looked pretty good at shortstops when they've had him there. Nick Gonzalez has the athletic profile, and he's been pretty good at second base. We'll see what happens at first. But your middle infielders that you place a high priority on defense, you feel pretty good about that now.
And Endy, defense.
And Endy is a good defensive catcher. Maybe O'Neal turns out to be that in center field, but you knew he wasn't going to be that at shortstop.
Exactly.
It's a very good point by you. How do you help your pitching? You know his bat's always going to be in the lineup, O'Neal Cruz. Now you take him and put him in a place where, yeah, if he sucks, he's still going to hurt you defensively. He's not going to hurt you as bad as he hurt you at shortstop. A bad defensive center fielder you can live with more, I think, than a bad defensive shortstop.
No doubt about it.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I wanted to talk about Steelers wide receivers. We still have time. Here are two names that the Steelers have reportedly reached out on. Tim Patrick of the Broncos, who hasn't played in 2 years.
Right.
Because he had an ACL injury in 2022. He had an Achilles injury last year. But at last we saw him, 2021, long time ago, 53 catches, 734, 5 touchdowns. 2020, 51 catches, 742, 6 touchdowns. So a productive wide receiver when healthy. He's only 30 years old right now. He's 6'4". They like wide receivers in this scheme that can put dudes on their ass. I've been watching some of his stuff. You know, YouTube highlights, Doran. He can put people on their ass. And then the other guy, John Metchie III, rookie a couple years ago, missed the season because he was diagnosed with leukemia. Last year comes back, 16 catches, 158. So the numbers don't scream out at you. But a pedigree guy who was picked in the second round. Do either of those guys interest you?
Patrick, absolutely not. Too many injuries.
Oh!
He's 30 years old. I mean, you're on the tour right now of those type of receivers. I mean, you got Scotty Miller, Quez Watkins, Van Jefferson. I mean, all their best seasons were back in 2021 or 2020. Do you need another one of those? No. And especially a guy that's off of two injuries? I don't think that's really going to move the needle much. That's just another body. But Metchie, he has, like you said, the pedigree that could be, and he's going to maybe get lost in the shuffle down in Texas, in Houston. He might be the fourth receiver. They have a plethora of receivers down there, but he does have the pedigree to be an explosive receiver. Now, coming off into leukemia, didn't play that much, last year, right? But I still think that he's still young enough and is, you know, a talented player that he could come in here and he could really help you. Metchie, yes. Patrick, absolutely not.
I'll give you my thoughts on these guys after the break.
All right.
If Tim Patrick were healthy the last couple of years, I would absolutely
For sure.
jump at the opportunity.
For sure.
That being said, I don't think he would be on the shopping block if he had been healthy the last couple of years. We'll get more into that coming up next. Jeff Hathorn at the top of the hour. And your heart care matters, folks. Trust the experts at UPMC and get your heart screened there at UPMC. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. In 10 minutes, sports director Jeff Hathorn will join us. And then an hour after that, Mark Aboli in with us from 8 o'clock until 9. I want to talk about those two wide receivers, and we will do so in a minute. But Rowdy Tellez got into the game again last night to pitch, which is never good. Rowdy has now pitched a couple times inside of a week. But we saw maybe the worst strike call of the year. Rowdy throws a 42-mile-an-hour pitch that, I bleep you not, is a foot high and probably a foot outside the strike zone.
Yep.
And it's called a strike by the umpire. It's so bad that Grandal is surprised by the strike call, double pumps, and then throws it back to Tellez. That's one of those deals. Man, the game's totally out of hand. You got a position player on the mound. And if you're the ump, you're probably just trying to get the hell out of there.
Yeah. My question is, why is Tellez the only guy that could pitch? Am I missing something?
I would have liked to see O'Neill do it.
Yeah, somebody.
I mean, we're moving him to center. My man throws 150 miles an hour. I'd like to see that.
Mm-hmm.
Although he'd kill someone, wouldn't he? And the way he throws.
Yeah, true. And Tellez hit like two, three guys.
Which is so good, man. It's just so good. I love position players pitching. I rather it be the opposition because my team's kicking butt. But I do like that. It's one of the old-timey things in baseball that I hope they always allow. Just save some innings.
Yeah.
And it's always entertaining because you kind of feel like, what would I look like up there doing the same thing? Probably no worse than Rowdy, honestly.
Probably the same. I mean, he wasn't trying at all. You could just tell he just was like, all right, I'm going to toss
it. Lollipopping it up. My God.
Crazy.
Doesn't even try to throw a breaking ball.
Nope.
I'd be up there if I was a position dude trying to throw my stuff and see what
That's
it looks like.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I'd be trying to throw.
We know he throws hard in 42.
Right.
Maybe he's a left-handed reliever in the future. Well, he won't be. One of the funniest strike calls you'll ever see. Okay, Tim Patrick, John Metchie. I would also prefer John Metchie, Dorn. Untapped potential. Liked him coming out of school. Terrible break because he gets leukemia. All accounts, he's healthy now, doing okay. But they had such a wealth of wide receivers last year in Houston And C.J. Stroud had a nice rapport going with everybody else. He didn't get a ton of playing time. He played in 16 of the 17 games, only had 16 catches for 158. But you tell me you get a third-year, second-round pick, I don't think it's going to cost a lot in a trade for the Steelers. I would absolutely take a flyer on that guy.
Now they have Stephon Diggs, too, so add him to the mix. And no, that's the guy right there. Like, I mean, if you're not going to get Ayuk, or if you still do get Ayuk, I'm still trying to get Mechie. Still trying to get him.
I mean, I do wonder, and I didn't want to bring up Ayuk, but, I mean, you kind of have to bring up Ayuk in these conversations. I'm wondering if they might be interested in Mechie, or they might be interested in Tim Patrick, because they've been looking for another wide receiver, right? Now would be the day to go and get something done, either before cutdowns, you try to work out a deal, or after cutdowns, you just see what's there and you try to fill out your roster. I don't know. I also wouldn't bat an eye at Tim Patrick. I would prefer Mechie too, because you don't have to squint to think, hey, maybe he could be a good player. He's in year three. He was a second round pick. There's a ton of meat, theoretically, still on that bone. Whereas Patrick hasn't played in 2 years and is on the wrong side of 30. He'll turn 31 in November. But if they went out and got him, I wouldn't be upset about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's how dire I think the situation is at wide receiver right now.
Mm-hmm.
And he could block 6'4". He's an over-the-middle guy. I wouldn't hate it. I'd prefer Mechie.
Yeah.
But they need somebody. They need somebody. Who is the other guy being bandied about? The guy from Kansas City who stinks.
Tony.
Yeah, Kadarius Tony.
Yeah, no.
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 Seems kind of like a jerk. Not reported to be a good locker room guy.
Wasn't he the guy that was giving the plays away?
That happened. Also can't catch the football.
Yeah.
So other than that, would be a great addition to the Steelers wide receiver room. How about the argument that, well, Juju Smith-Schuster is good enough for the Chiefs, so he would have been good enough for the Steelers? Yeah, I don't buy that.
No.
I don't buy that. They've got Patrick Mahomes and they've got Andy Reid, and so they'll throw him at the wall and see if it sticks, and if not, they've got nothing to lose.
Right.
If you're the Steelers, this is how low I feel right now about Juju Smith-Schuster. He got cut by the Patriots.
They don't have any receivers.
Their best receiver is Kendrick Bourne.
Right.
He can't play anymore. He can't run. Just because the Chiefs claimed him doesn't mean he's good. Just because Gunnar Olszewski was playing special teams for the Patriots doesn't mean he was a good special teams player anymore. Like, we don't have to do that thing. Juju wasn't going to work here. Moving on?
Yes.
We move on. Coming up next, Jeff Hathorn. Get his thoughts on O'Neal Cruz and then ask him a couple of questions about them Stillers. First, though, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet. Up to 7,500 in rebates. Terms, conditions at sunchevy.com.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.